Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to have all of you with us. Like I said, good to have Brother Paul Thompson.
Thompson.
There you go. I was going to say Thomas because that's June's maiden name. So that's what kept going over in my head.
Brother Paul Thompson. Not a doubting Thompson, though.
Not a what?
Not a doubting Thompson.
Not a doubting Thompson.
A believing Thompson.
A believing Thompson. All right, so we've been on the book of Revelation here for the past few months, and now we're on Revelation chapter 5. But we'll go back to chapter 4 just for a minute. After this, which is after the church ages, as we were talking about last Sunday, just for a background, behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me. And who's me? Me's the bride. Me's John. Right, so it's us. Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So, as we know, that's the type of the rapture, and that is the rapture that we take, because afterwards, and as I was saying Sunday, be careful. The prophet of God tells us, I've got it right here, that from chapter 4:1, the bride leaves the earth, and she's not seen until Revelation 19. And she comes back as a wife. She leaves as a bride and comes back as a wife, right?
Right.
A mature person, a mature lady. Right. And there's 3.5 years, we know that we go to a marriage supper, which that fulfills part of Daniel's 70 weeks. But this is all to the Jews. So from Revelation 4:1 to Revelation 19:21 is all to the Jews. So, wait, we got Revelation 10:7. Hang on a minute. Yeah. The natural part is to the Jews. They're still living down here. They got to go through the natural opening of the seal. They got to go through the natural beast rising up out of the ocean and this, all the different things that we're going to go through. They're going to go through that naturally. Even Revelation 10:1 is a natural happening because he's going to descend to the Jews. Everybody got that? But when we get to Revelation 10, if it had not been for Revelation 10:7 inserted in there, it would have been all Jewish. You say, oh, what about what? They get Christ the same as we do.
Right.
That mighty angel that comes down in Revelation 10:1 is the same mighty angel that come to us.
Yes.
Amen? Right. It wasn't William Branham, it was the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So, excuse me. But we see that he also, when we leave, he goes to the Jews. And is Christ to the Jews. Right? Because we'll look
Christ.
At it when we...
Same Christ.
We'll get to... And this is interactive. If you want to, Brother Paul, if you want to stop and ask a question or make a comment... Go right ahead. Frida sure does most of the time. So, but we can converse back and forth. This is not just me. This is a Sunday school. So if you need, anybody needs to stop, and some do, and that's okay. I like that because it helps us all.
My parents were both school teachers, so they had to raise.
Oh, buddy, yet. Yeah. Oh boy. Well, you don't have to raise your hand.
Just go.
Yeah. So anyway, so we go up after this, after the church ages, we leave. And we're gone. We're over here in the eighth day. If you're born again today, you're already in the eighth day. But we, I like this word, we physically. You say, oh, no. We physically go into another dimension. Because we're changed here. We're changed here.
Yep.
Then we physically take our physical bodies that are changed, glorified, and we take it into another dimension. While God does His work to the 144,000, because He's not going to deal with us and them at the same time.
Right?
So they're waiting on us to get out of the way so that He can deal with the Jews and fulfill all this scripture in between here in the natural. Because remember, Jews have to have something natural. They have to be by sight. They have to be by touch. We as Gentiles, we're supposed to take it by faith, not by sight. Right? But the Jews are built on Jairus, come and touch my daughter, come and do this, come and do this. But the centurion says, I'm a man of authority, you're a man of authority.
Amen.
If I say it, and I have 100 people, and you know what he was saying? He said, if there's a hundred diseases, sir, they're at your control. Whatever you say to them, it'll happen.
It's done.
You're an authority. He said, I'm a man of authority. You're a man of authority. He noticed that Jesus had some kind of power that nobody else had. And it wasn't that he had 100 soldiers standing behind him.
No.
I believe he had a revelation because you and I have to have a revelation of the same thing.
Right?
So we believe to see, not see to believe. But now Israel sees to believe. Right? They have to have a prophet standing on the earth. They have to have signs. They have to have this. They have to have all these different things. And we don't have to have that. Alright, so now, get out of here, Paul. After this, I looked and behold, the door was open. So we go in a rapture. But now remember, though, Revelation 4 is a scene in heaven because he's going up hither. But he's going to show him a revelation. So he's going to show us a revelation. That's why he had to send us a prophet to show us, as Brother Andrew did a perfect job Sunday, talking about symbols. But those symbols have to become reality to us. If not, they just stay symbols. The cloud, the statue of a perfect man, all these things that the prophet of God brought us, the church ages, and how to position all this and put it all together. Without that, we're just probing. We're just sticking here and we're thinking maybe this will happen. Brother Brown says we can't be, in other words, presuming.
Right.
That's venturing without authority. But he brought the authority here. Not just to bring it here and then leave with it. He brought it here and distributed it to us. So that we, as the type of John, can take these mysteries and, as Brother Brown said, take the big nuggets. He brought the big nuggets. He only had a certain length of time to preach the message. And then the fivefold ministry breaks it down for the people to understand it. Right? Because just listening to tapes is not going to get it. That's your big nugget. It just keeps to be a big nugget. But he wants us to break it down and have a personal revelation.
Yes.
My revelation is not that William Branham had a revelation.
Right.
My revelation is that God told me through that man.
Right.
And I have a revelation now. You know what it does, though? It coincides with his revelation.
Yeah, yeah.
And it definitely better coincide with God's revelation because he's perfect. And Brother Branham, we know, brought a perfect word. He made mistakes. He made slips of the tongue. We know that. He was a human being. But when it comes to the pure word and all the doctrines of the Bible, he was never wrong.
Yeah.
All right?
Amen.
So I immediately was in the spirit. So now we're in the spirit. So we're in a spiritual realm now. And then we saw while this happened last Sunday, round about the throne was 24 elders, which is the what? 12 apostles and 12 patriarchs, all right, in the Old Testament. But John must have been really happy because I don't believe there was an empty seat there. He saw himself sitting there.
Right.
Because it's 20, he didn't say 23. And one seat missing. He saw 24 seats and 24 people sitting, and John was one of them. Right? So that's why he keeps making him happy. As he gets over to Revelation 5, he said, "I screamed out and the whole world heard me." Why? He knew he'd made it.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? He saw himself. But remember, John was a Jew. He needed to see.
Amen.
All right.
And around my throne was 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders. We know who they were. In white raiment, and had crowns of gold on their heads. So they are they're in a position of authority. And then out of the throne proceed lightnings, thunder. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now remember, the seven spirits of God were the seven church ages and the seven church age messengers that were commissioned to give us. Now listen, it wasn't Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, all them standing there. It says the spirits, seven spirits of God. So it was the characteristic of every church age.
Right.
Okay? The characteristic. But remember, Brother Brown said he took the characteristic of the age and fit it to the man.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the man fit the characteristic of God, the Spirit of God. He fit that for that age. Now look, Brother Brown didn't fit Irenaeus. Irenaeus fit Irenaeus.
Yes.
Prophet of God, he fit where he was at. Right? So there's seven spirits of God before the throne, sea of glass, the midst of the throne, round about the throne, the four beasts. Now, what are the four beasts? The lion, ox, the man, and the eagle. Full of eyes before and behind. So in other words, it doesn't matter where they turn, they all were seeing. They knew, they had revelation. And that we know that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have all four of those in you today, working as a bold lion, coming to church as an ox every Sunday and getting up and reading your Bible and getting up and coming to church on Wednesday. I hope you don't have to get up and come to church on Wednesday. But you have to get up out of your chair and come to church on Wednesday. But that's the ox. That's the labor. That's the burden. You know what? That's your overcoming power. Right? Then you got the intelligence of man, which is not man's knowledge, but this knowledge. This is the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of man. Knowledge of man will do what? Present. But the knowledge of God cannot present. The knowledge of God is straightforward and true. And then, of course, the eagle is this age now, which is higher, which is the higher revelation. He can see further. And as I've always told you before, Brother Chris said the other day, he said, man, I still use that, what you said at my church. But you look at your four combat beasts. The lion starts out, he's a meat eater, but he doesn't start out a meat eater. He starts out a milk drinker. The ox doesn't start eating grass. That little baby that was born the other night, the cocoa, he's after that milk right now. Now he will revelate himself into eating grass. The man, sure, we love to eat meat, but what do we start out as?
Milk.
Babies drinking milk. But now eagle does not drink milk. There is no milk veins in an eagle. It's all meat. Right? So
Mama,
here we are in the eagle age.
Mama chews it up.
Mama, fivefold ministry chews it up. And I wish we could poke it down your throat like they do. But when they're real young, you know, they open their mouth and Mama goes, shoves it down in there. That's what we're trying to do now.
Yeah.
So that you can grow up.
Did you ever study verse 7 compared to Ezekiel? The rings with the faces of a lion, a calf, a man, and
yes.
A eagle.
Yes.
He did that, okay.
Yes. And Ryan had a problem with that because it says they are always moving forward. How can you move forward with four sides? Well, it turns, and in the revelation you need, you may not need the man's knowledge. You may get up in the morning and need some ox. So the ox is the one that goes forward. It's not just somebody standing up with the face of a man, face of this. It was turned that when you need, listen, God don't go sideways or backwards. God goes forward. So if you need the eagle anointing, it's forward. It's right. It comes to the forefront of your Holy Ghost. Because it's yours. It ain't God's anymore. That's right. Brother Bram said, this is my eye. God gave it to me. He said, it's now mine. He said, God gives me the Holy Ghost. He said, it's mine. Because he won't ever take it back once he gives it to me. So the lion, ox, man, and eagle, whatever you need for your journey is right here. To step forward. You may not need the intelligence today. He may be back here somewhere, you know, not hanging around. But you may need that boldness of a lion. You may need the ox to get up out of bed and go to church. You may need the intelligence of man. Well, see, he's right here the whole time. He's not having to twist. He's right here. He just comes to the forefront of your revelation. He just comes to the forefront. Listen, the Holy Ghost is active. Remember I'm going to try to find that where they, at the Wailing Wall, you never see them, a true Orthodox Jew be still. They're doing this. Now, they're not doing this because they just are bowing. No, they're doing this because they say that God is always in motion. Their God is always in motion, even though they believe He ain't come yet. You know, the Messiah. Even though they believe He's not here yet, they believe He's still in motion. And the way they do this, when they walk up to that wall, they're saying, God, I'm in motion with You, in other words. Right? When the Bible says, be still and know that I am God, that doesn't mean go sit down in a corner somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, I've always told you, I said, people say, well, God give me a job, and then they go home and sit down in the bedroom and don't get out for 3 or 4 weeks. You'll still be there in 3 or 4 weeks because God wants you to do your part. Well, that's the part you do. When you step forward, you're putting forth an effort.
Yeah.
You're wanting to do something for God. I don't come here and do this because I have to.
Right.
I come here and do it because I want to. I'm a postal carrier. I deal with all kinds of goofy stuff during the week, and I want to deal with Christian people. Right? Then we know they had six wings and they flew us. I can't get to Revelation 5 yet. So in other words, thou art worthy. So now here, Revelation 5. This is a scene in heaven. But this is the whole plan of redemption in one chapter.
Amen.
That's why Brother Brown said this is the most sublime scripture in the Bible. This one right here. There's one that's the most important, which is Daniel. But this is the most sublime scripture in the Bible. Why? Because it shows us and the total plan of redemption, and it shows us, on down here a little further, because remember, John wept. John typed the bride. because no man was worthy. But now, wait a minute. When we get on down here, it says right here,
what does it say? Right here.
And has made us under our God kings and priests. We went from crying babies, not know what's going on, don't know anything about the plan of redemption, we just know we're lost, to right here, in just 9 verses, we went from sniffling and crying to God making us, not making ourselves. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves, Psalm 100. Unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on, and that's also interpreted in the earth, because you've got to reign here first before we can reign on. Hey, listen, you gotta reign in here. You gotta let God reign here first before He allows you. But look, only in 9 verses we went from somebody that was unworthy to somebody that was worthy to even rule the world, back to where Adam was in the Garden of Eden. And Brother Brown tells us, he says, if we're going to be kings and priests, we got to have something to rule over. Because it says we'll rule and reign. In a different scripture, it says we'll rule and reign over the earth. Right? Which is back to the Garden of Eden. Back to where Adam ruled the whole earth. God said, hey, I'll take care of the universe, you take care of the earth. Well, he messed it up, but the second one didn't. And now that the second one's inside of us, there's where the rulership comes from. Because we're promised in this last church age an intimacy that no other church age got. We're to sit in the throne, His throne, not our own throne. We're to sit in His throne as He sat in His Father's throne. John 17, He says, Father, I pray that they be one as we are one. Right?
Definitely.
That's true oneness, yes. That's true oneness. True oneness is not we're a second person of God. That's our problem. That's why we're still here. That's why we've been here for 50 years. We think that Jesus is over here and we're over here. I thought the Bible says we're heirs and joint heirs. I thought He just said in John 17, He prayed that we be one with Him like He's one. Now, how many are they between Him and His daddy, Him and the Father?
One.
So I pray that we be one, even as you and I are one.
Amen.
That's the problem. We've got this thing where we're a second person. We're another substance. No, we got it. When we receive the new birth, we have to realize we are the substance of God, not a light substance of God.
Right.
But we go back to that, what Brother Dale has been talking about. It's 10:04. We got to go. I got one more minute. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look upon it. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. We'll stop right there. We need to look there. God bless you. Thank you for your attentiveness.